All right, welcome to another episode of the Optimistic Divorcees Podcast. I'm Charisse.
And I'm Shari.
And we are two happily divorced women who are optimistic about life, but real about love. And today we're just going to go ahead and jump into our segment, I Do, I'm Done. And this is where we talk about something we have seen, heard, or read that we love or we hate. So this week, I'm going with I Do. So I'm saying I do to social media.
Okay.
I have been so entertained by the memes about the stimulus checks, child. We know that we will make a joke out of anything, and I love it.
That's what keeps us going.
For real. And then not just the stimulus checks. They've been using the Oprah faces from her interview with Harry and Meghan. Oh my God. I love it. And you know what? We used to say that it was like Black Twitter or, you know, Black people doing this. Mm-hmm. But in this last year, I really think it's just everybody that's like, you know what? We got to find something to laugh at. So
for real.
Let's make these memes. Let's make these videos. I mean, they're making up songs. And I love it because we need to laugh. We got to laugh to keep from crying.
No, we need some levity in the world.
That's right.
Well, Charisse, speaking of your I Do, you know, you mentioned the Oprah interview with the Royals. The former royals,
right.
Meghan and Harry. I am going to say I'm done. This is going to sound so rude, but I don't know any other way to put it. So I'm going to say I'm done to white people whiting. So okay. What I mean by that, I don't know. Well, I'm not going to even say I don't know, because if you don't know by now, you either haven't been on the social medias or, you know, you've been under a rock or you just don't watch TV, whatever. But this week, you know, there were a lot of people talking about what happened on the show The Talk with Sharon Osbourne and Sheryl Underwood. So I'm just going to give a little bit of context, but basically what happened is, of course, based on the interview that Oprah had with Meghan and Harry, Piers Morgan, which we all know by now, is like a super hater of Meghan Markle, because apparently, I guess they went out on one day and she wasn't on that with him. So, you know, he got upset and she went on to meet Harry and to live this new life. Okay. With someone besides Piers Morgan. Clearly he still hasn't gotten over it, because he's still tearing her down every single time he gets the opportunity. So this week, you know, he has been roasted well-deservedly. I probably made that up, but y'all know what I'm trying to say. He has been roasted. He deserved all of it, okay? And Sharon Osbourne went on Twitter and basically said, I stand with you.
Right.
And she said that she was saying this in the manner of, I stand with him because, you know, it's free speech. And I believe everyone should have, you know, free speech, which I agree. However, when you say that you agree with someone who is clearly speaking rhetoric that lends to racist agendas and tendencies, behaviors, whatever you want to call it, there's a problem with that. And so she got kind of, well, not even kind of, she got in a puff, okay? She got her feathers ruffled on the show, and she was just on 10. Mm. And then she tried to come for Sheryl Underwood and, you know, tell Sheryl, oh, don't cry, you know, you're not the victim, I'm the victim. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. White people whiting, because they caused the offense, but then they're the one who is offended. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. And so many times as Black people, we are the ones who, you know, have been told for decades to be the bigger person. You know what I mean? Right. Turn the other cheek. And my thing is, okay, Cheryl Underwood didn't go off. She maintained her cool. She kept it real classy. But the sad part about it is, if she had been on the same level that Sharon Osbourne was on, with like the yelling and like just being super rude, then Cheryl Underwood, you know, she would have been called all kinds of names. Of course, she would have been labeled the angry Black woman. You know, absolutely, she's attacking Sharon at Osbourne. And that's the thing that is so upsetting to me. I want people to understand, and this is like for white people in particular, just because someone is having a conversation with you about your behavior, you don't need to get defensive. Be willing to have the uncomfortable conversation, the difficult conversation, because trust us, we don't want to have it with you either. But this is where we are. You know what I mean? And if you claim to not be racist, or if you claim to want to understand more, learn more, be better, then remove the defenses and be willing to have conversations that may not make you feel comfortable. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or may make you have to realize some things about yourself that maybe you didn't realize. So anyway, that's what I'm saying I'm done to. I could go on and on about that, but I'm saying I'm done to white people whiting and to Black people always having to bend over backwards, first of all, to explain why something is blatantly racist, and then have to try to coddle you as a white person to understand, you know, so that you can understand why what you said or what you did was incorrect. Anyway, I'm done. I'm jumping off the soapbox. But
you know what? I was too through when I saw that clip and Sharon said to her, you know, and you mentioned this, don't you dare try to cry. Like, you're yelling at me.
Girl.
You're very emotional, obviously, but you're going to tell me I don't try to cry? Are you kidding
because,
me?
Because again, you know, you reign supreme. That in and of itself tells us all that we need to know about you. How you feel, what you think, what you believe, it trumps how I'm feeling. It trumps what I believe. Right. It trumps what I'm thinking. You know what I mean? Oh, I don't have the space to cry and share my emotions and share what I'm feeling, but I'm supposed to give you the floor and allow you the time, space, and opportunity to do it. Okay. Right.
And just be your punch bag and
exactly
and say whatever you want and how you
absolutely
want.
Not. We roll a little bit differently in these times. So
For real.
We're not on that. But anyway, guys, I had to kind of calm down because I felt the heat rising in my body. I was getting so upset just thinking about it.
Well, guys, that's the segment for today. And when we come back, we have some awesome guests and we won't be mad anymore. So stay tuned.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Optimistic Divorcees podcast. If you have topic suggestions or would like to be a guest, send us an email at theoptimisticdivorceespodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not already, make sure to follow us online at The Opt Divorcees on Instagram and The Optimistic Divorcees on Facebook. To sign up for our email list, you can use the link in our Instagram bio or check out the show notes.
We are so excited about today's episode. We have an awesome panel of guests with us today. We have the beautiful Alicia Smith, the incomparable Jason Fredericks, the anointed Dante Jackson, the hilarious Tony Baker. And we're going to let each of them introduce themselves. So we'll start with you, Jason.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jason Fredericks. I am a producer and a business manager to the social media stars. That's it about me. I'm a father and a husband to one wife, the very first wife I've ever had. Oh, and yes. My seven children and Ooh. Three grandchildren.
Oh, hey, seven and is completion.
That, all seven right. is complete. I'm done. My kids aren't done, obviously.
You got kids and yeah,
kids, got man.
Kids.
Right.
Jason been busy, man.
No, nah, man, I'm not busy no more, man. I'm in the children's church working, man. I gotta help out. I gotta volunteer now.
Right. Okay, we'll move right along to Alicia. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hello, I am Alicia. I am an educator. I'm a principal in a kindergarten to third grade building in the south suburbs in Chicago. Like Jason, is not much more to say than that. I am an aunt to my five beautiful nieces and nephews who I adore with all my being. I am a sister and a friend. That's it. And I too am an optimistic divorcee.
All right.
And let me say, Alicia has been dope, okay? I'm rocking her t-shirt. You can't see her t-shirt, but it says been dope, and she has, been dope. Okay?
Been dope the whole time.
A long time.
The whole time, man. You look back, she was dope then.
Right. Ben. So we're going to let Tony go ahead and introduce himself.
When you were doing the introductions, you know, when you said the beautiful, you know, I thought you was talking about me.
Oh.
I was ready for it. I was like, all right, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, Alicia, I was like, oh yeah, you're right. But I thought it was gonna be me, you know what I'm saying? I am a stand-up comedian, actor, the social media hustler, if you will.
I like that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, the pandemic, the hustling was on and cracking. Okay. I am also, you know, a divorcee, if you will, father of two boys, two young men, actually. My sons are 21 and 19 now. I think that's about it. You know what I'm saying? My dad lives in South Holland, you know.
Oh,
that's where I close to you. To South Holland, but I am from Chicago originally, so yeah.
Right. Shout out.
Yeah, man, we out here.
In these streets. And that
leaves us last but not least, the right good reverend. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
What's good, everybody? My name is Dante Jackson, and I'm a native of Rand, West Virginia. Home of Randy Moss. Shout out to the homie Randy. It is good to be here. I presently serve as a youth and young adult pastor at Consolidated Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, which is where I presently am. I am a father of two beautiful children, one bright baby girl, Olivia, who you can hear in the background. Every time I'm quiet. She's daddy's cheerleader, though, and Josiah, who will turn four on March 16th. So we got a birthday coming up soon. But and I, too, am an optimistic divorcee.
All right. And giving honor to God, who is the head of his life.
That's what we're doing today.
Listen, he was about to break the word open. And if you would turn with me quickly, as we're on this podcast, turn with me quickly. We're not going to be before you long.
I knew they weren't going to let me make it. I love y'all too.
Of course. So on that note, we're going to jump right on in into our topic today. And what we're talking about is misconceptions that men and women may have about each other. And we're going to clear those up. So we're going to start with Shari. What you got for us?
Thanks so much, Sharice. Seeing as how I am a co-host of this podcast, I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
No problem.
My misconception is that, well, let me say this. Let me start over. My misconception that I feel that men have about women is that we are too sensitive, that we are, you know, irrational, we're too emotional. and that we can't handle the truth of situations. So, for example, if a man, you know, is not happy in a relationship, or, you know, isn't getting certain things out of a relationship, maybe he's not happy, maybe he wants to, you know, leave the relationship, whatever. Instead of having an upfront conversation and saying, look, this is where I am, I feel like a lot of times they, and I'm going to say most men, I'm not going to say all, okay, right, but most men really don't try to have that conversation with their significant other. And so they may step out. And I feel like they do that because they don't want to deal with what they may feel or deem as like too emotional. So yeah, I'm gonna throw that out there as the misconception that I feel most men have, you know, with women.
That's a good one, Shari. I think I agree. What y'all think?
Thanks, girl.
I definitely agree.
Shari be lying.
don't do me, Jay.
This is what I'll say. I'll say that a lot of times it's women say they're not too sensitive or they're not emotionally driven. And then when men have tried to say those things that might be hard to say, it's because of a reaction that we received from a woman in the past, and we don't want to go down that path. Because some women, not all, as Shari mm-hmm. would say, are very demonstrative. And so when a guy has something, guys do a lot of things wrong. Well, people do.
Mm-hmm.
But just speaking from men make a lot of mistakes. We don't think with the right head all the time. And sometimes when you have to come clean in those areas, or not even that in any area, it's because you know that you're not going to be received. And so that's the main issue I think that has with feeling like you're always insensitive. It's that emotional reaction that women have because they're in touch with that side that men don't have. So we might see it as that. I don't mm-hmm. know if Dante and Tony can speak from their perspective on that. But that's mine.
Okay.
I just had a question. So you think that you're not going to be received, period, or you're not going to be received in the way that you would like to be received?
Both. Because sometimes you know, everybody, okay, let me say this example. Sometimes you want to, you know, you like to have a relationship where you can be open and honest and free speaking and be able to talk to your significant other. I think we all want that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have to have a hard conversation with your significant other about themselves, about sometimes, like, for instance, this hasn't happened, but like if how my wife is treating the kids or something, and then I have to bring up something to her in private about her actions and why the kids perceive it a certain way. And I'm only using this as an example. This isn't absolute because mm-hmm. I don't want to be getting in trouble later.
Right.
But how you receive that information or how you take somebody coming to you makes them respond for the next time. So if she's not receptive to me trying to help, then that's where it becomes, well, I can't go down this path with you because of how you receive this information or how you react when you receive this type of information. And I'm supposed to be here to help you. Or mm-hmm. if I've done something wrong or I have to bring it to light and I have to say, this is what I've done and I don't need you to go off on the deep end, and you do all the time, it makes it difficult. And that's where I think speaking to Shari's point about why men feel that way, it's because of the continual reactions of somebody or, you know, your significant other or, you know, the women in your life about how they respond, in my opinion.
Okay. I think that that's a great response. And I can totally see that. I mean, it's kind of like, if this has been the response that I've received, then why am I going to even go down this road? Because you're expecting to receive the response that you've received several times before. So I get that, Jay. Tony, Dante, y'all got something to add?
Yeah, I agree with Jay on that standpoint. Even coming from whether it be, you know, how you were received from past relationships and in the current one. We always draw from our past experiences, no matter what it is, outside of relationships, inside. We remember, oh man, even when you go in a restaurant, man, last time I was here, they did this. And then so you know, and that carries too with relationships. And you know, that's why it's always, everybody wants to be in an open and honest relationship, but that's one of the hardest things to do, not because it's hard to be honest, but just because it's hard to weather the storm of the reactions of your honesty. So, you know, if you're telling somebody how you feel and what they may be doing or something you did or whatever, you know, you're being honest, but then they have an honest reaction to what you just told them. And right. So it's tough to always handle that. And a lot of people just don't want to, I just couldn't, because I didn't feel like, you know, going down that road. And so that happens a lot. But what I found is that, you know, being honest with women like to be informed. I found, you know, they like, even if they take it the wrong way initially, then I feel like they have a better time processing what was told to them if it's told to them in a timely manner. Like, you know, don't be like, I had these two kids over here. 10 years you've been lying. Like if it's something new, if it's something like, you know, they might go off on you in the moment, but then they'll come around and be like, you know, I see where you're coming from, or, you know, sorry I snapped, but this is how I feel. You just need that moment of release, and then to think about, you know, everything. And so even the deepest and hardest truths, I think women handle quite well. And I feel like men are just as emotional as women. It's just we handle it in different ways. Like if a woman tells a man the truth, they don't be handling it well either. They may front and be like, you know, this, but they don't handle stuff where I'd say men are, you know, even worse. But, you know, that's just me.
Speaking the truth today.
Yeah.
it's that ego tone that we get that ego touch. We get that ego touch. My bad, Dante. Go.
No. You good. I think to that point that what I found out as far as the emotional aspect is that where there is no platform to really put it all out on the table, you'll be least likely to really be able to navigate the emotional aspect, you know, and the overreaction or just the response one way or the other. And so for me, I think that, again, it's not necessarily that the woman is too emotional. It may be that there is no platform within the context of that relationship to really discuss open and honestly and really navigate that emotional piece to have a reaction and say, wait a minute, that one hit me kind of hard. Give me a minute. Let me go over here and then let me deal with it honestly and process it, you know, in a way that we can come back to the table and then, you know, finish discussing this how we really need to.
I like that. And I also like what you said, Tony, in terms of, you know, a lot of times we ask for the honesty, we ask for the transparency, but we ask and we're not always ready to receive. You know, we're not always ready to take what comes with it. Right. So that was an excellent point.
But at the same time, I think it's important for people to not assume that the other person's reaction is going to be a certain way and give the other person an opportunity to react however they're going to react and take the news or whatever it is. And sharing however they're going to do it.
Right. Because at the end of the day, like, you can't control a person's reactions anyway. They're going to react regardless.
I think I try to lead in the fact that with my profession, I have to have tough conversations all the time. I always say to myself, and I try to use this in relationships with guys, it's my responsibility to deliver the information. I'm not responsible for how you react to it. So then that takes the pressure off of me to like worry about how they're going to react, because you get yourself in a panic like, oh my God, I don't want to say anything, but I'm just responsible for delivering it. How you receive it is not my responsibility.
So I like that, man. I've never thought about that.
Yeah, you're just responsible for delivering info.
I gave you the info. I did my part.
Right.
The rest is on you.
That's right. On you. You know what I'm saying?
Figure it out. Figure it out. I'll see you next week.
Next week, you live here. Where you going?
My hands off. Okay.
I'll see you next week. You live
here. I love it.
I got a question. I got a question. I got a question about that.
Okay.
And maybe I'm tripping.
You are. No.
No. This why. You know what?
Maybe.
No. No. I did. So I'm not the quote was, I'm only responsible for delivering the information, but I'm not responsible for how you react. I don't know if that's all the way absolute fact.
Come on.
And this is what I'm saying. Okay. I think it's the who, let's just talk husband and wife. I'm married. It depends on what information I'm delivering my wife. And what the information my wife is delivering to me, because there is, come on, pastor, there's vows and covenant that when you're saying certain things and have done certain things, and they're just say there's transgressions, and you're like, am I not responsible for how my wife reacts when I'm giving information that's detrimental to our relationship? Am I not responsible there?
Well, I think that goes.
Am I tripping?
I don't think you're tripping, but I think there's some responsibility on both and with both parties. I think that again, it kind of goes back to this overreaction piece or response piece, but it's also let's see how we can say this the right way, because. If there is, again, let's just put it out there. This is the podcast, right? This is the Optimisticals, right?
Exactly. We're all about keeping it real.
We put it all out there. I just think that's a very black and white way of communication, and it may not necessarily yield the results that you want. It's just like cut and dry, you know, that's a very business administrative type approach to the issue of communication, especially if it's a hard issue where you want there to be some dialogue, or at least you want it to be a recovery of the relationship, or maybe again to Jason's point, especially if there's been a transgression, because automatically you got to know off rip, guys gonna lie. guys gonna lie, because
niggas gonna need.
We know we're wrong. And so because we know we're wrong, we call ourselves trying to protect feelings, but in actuality, we're also in some small way trying to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so in hopes for expect the worst, but hope for the best. Right. And so, you know, again, I really do agree with Jason that may not necessarily be one of the greatest approaches, but it is an approach, and you know, there's an approach for everything. So you gotta look at all of it, but just in your particular relationship, hope that you can get to that place.
I don't disagree with you, Jason. I think what I'm saying is with what I heard you all say is that the pressure that you feel when delivering the information because you're apprehensive of the reaction. So my response is, if you don't worry yourself with the reaction and be responsible for delivering the information, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be concerned about how the person is going to react. But if you're going to, which we know, like Dante said, lie to avoid the reaction, not tell it to avoid the reaction, pull myself back to avoid the reaction, then you're not going to give accurate information. So in any relationship, it's not really black and white. To me, it's delivering the information to say this is what's happening, and don't be so afraid of the reaction, because you'll be apprehensive and then you'll worry and work yourself up when the reaction might be cool. Or let's talk about that later, right? So, you know, it's not
I'm with that.
It's not, it's, I don't see it as cut and dry. I see it as taking the pressure off of yourself. So mm-hmm. when you deliver the information, you'll be comfortable enough to say, okay, I just got to deliver this and not really concern myself so much with the action. Because a pop might come at your head or she might walk off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's why.
That's real. Be scared either way. No, I'm but.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. I'm Dana, aka Dynamite781 across the social medias, and I am here to tell you about my podcast that is currently streaming on your favorite listening platform. It's called This Should Be in a Book. People often tell me that the things I say should be in a book, but I didn't want to write a book. So I decided to release my knowledge podcast style. New episodes are available every Monday, and you'll be able to listen to my insight on this thing called life, 3 points into poem style, minus the poem. So after you finish listening to this podcast, head on over to This Should Be in a Book to listen and subscribe. Hope you enjoy.
We're going to move on to Mr. Tony Baker.
Yes. And,
what is the misconception that you think women have about men?
I think the big portion of the women populace, they think all men are dogs and that they're cheats.
No, never.
That's I feel like that's the broad misconception that's dumped on men and men alone. You know, we should all know by now that men and women cheat, but you know. Men are notorious. They're the notorious, you know, cheaters in the game because of, you know, different standards and double standards that go around. But, you know, it's like rare to find a good man, you know what I mean? And you know, me personally, I know personal, like, good dudes, you know, usually they're overlooked. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, you know what I'm saying? They get overlooked a lot by women. And so I just be like, well, here's the, you know. And a lot of the times, you know, the charismatic guy, the outgoing, you know, ladies man, they get a lot of female attention because they are that guy that'll approach, that'll be in your face, but they'll also do it the next night to a different woman or this, that, and the third. And so they overlook the quiet guy in the corner that, you know, might be a little shy or whatever, but no, he's not confident because he didn't holler at me in a smoky nightclub, you know. And then you done missed out on a quality dude. And those are the dudes a lot of women should kind of cling to because you saw him in a social atmosphere, not really in women's faces like that. So that could carry over. Like if y'all are in a relationship, you don't really have to worry about him that much because you know he's shy, he's in the cut, he's chilling. Right. You know what I mean? So, but I think that's the broad misconception. Of course, there's cheaters out there and like straight up dogs, of course. But I think the broad misconception is all guys, you know, are dogs.
What do you all think about that?
I don't believe all men are dogs. I don't. I do believe that there are good guys out there, like he said. I do think we all have the ability to cheat. It's just a decision to make. And I think women cheat as much as men. I think they just don't get caught.
Right.
I do think there's some great guys out there. I think you just tell the truth about what you want and go from there.
Yeah, I agree. I would agree with that. I mean, I think honestly, I did go through a phase where I was like, oh, like bunk men, you know, they're all this, they're all that, whatever. But you know, as I've gotten older and you know, I have friends who have amazing husbands, you know, and I see great examples of men, whether they're husbands or just in relationships, who are just great guys, you know, they're committed and, you know, not to say that those relationships, you know, aren't without fault, but just seeing the relationships that my friends have, I've really come to learn like, okay, you know, there are some really decent guys out there. And to your point, Tony, I'm definitely going to take that going into, you know, when I start the whole dating phase again, I'm going to be looking for the real quiet one in the corner. Like,
yeah, just chilling. Right.
But he always
got the gym.
Has he always been quiet in the corner?
Could well, he listen, I can find out about that later. That's I'll what ask I was the questions say. Later.
That's the problem. No, what I was going to say is that, you know, men become men, like, by evolution sometimes. Like, for me, you know, like, I've evolved to the person that I was. You know, long story short, like, my baby mom would teach my kids who I was when I was with her. And I'm not even the same man. I'm night and day. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I mean, night and day, like, they be looking like, Dad, you did what? I'd be like, man, yeah, but I'm not, they don't know
any
part of that.
Right.
Yeah. And so I used to be very upset with that because I'd be like, man, you're projecting onto the kids something, an image of you have, because that was your experience with me, which is that doesn't mean that it wasn't real, but it's unfair to put them in that scenario. And you're saying that this is who this man is because, and you don't want to be, that shouldn't be your example. But when anybody else that would know me right now would be like, man, that's the epitome of the example of a father you want to be, or the husband, you know what I'm saying? Somebody that is really trying to do it the way it's supposed to be done. Not perfect, but, you know, try to be a great example to my children. But when you're younger and you don't get it because you haven't got it yet, then I think, you know, that's what happens to men, and we have to evolve to who we are, because I'm a reformed cheater. But what I'm saying is, though, like, real talk, but real talk, though, like, my examples of guys were great. I honestly didn't think you weren't supposed to have more than one chick. Like, that's just what it was. That's your girl and that's your girl. Yeah. Like, what y'all?
What's the problem? Said with confidence. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
y'all not doing this.
Right. Like, no, like you like everybody. You had a main girl. Right. Like, that's your girl. That's your girl. But that's your main girl. And that's my main. You tripping? Don't do that around her. But being honest, that's just what it was. Everybody was doing that. Like, what do you mean, guys? Like, this is Ali Ali Oxen Free. Like, what's going on? Like, you had to really learn, like, why that. I don't even know if that's really making sense. Like, why you don't do this or that. It doesn't matter if you're a church kid or not. I'm just saying why you don't do this, why you don't live that, and what you're really doing. And you know what I mean? Like, you always hear the stories of, like Tony was just referring to, like, you got kids over here, like a man having a whole another family on the other side of town. But how did he get there? Like, right. why is he that? You know what I'm saying? And so I think a lot of us, not all of us, some of that stuff was ingrained because that's just the way the person was taught to be a great husband. You were taught to. It's not that you're even doing, you don't even think you're doing anything wrong, you know, or really that bad, you know,
because
what I'm saying?
It's the norm.
So, yeah. But because that's just what it is. And then you obviously grow and you live to hurt people and understanding what love is and the repercussions of that and losing. And then again, there's the evolution of, oh, let me be a real nigga then. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, that I just think that that's part of it. That's part of why all men are dogs. It's just the evolution hasn't happened for everybody.
Okay. Yeah,
that's fair.
Doesn't mean it's right.
Right, right.
Yeah, doesn't mean it's right.
And it
takes
some men longer to evolve than others. Obviously.
Most definitely. Some never do.
Some never do. That part right there.
They take that to the casket.
Some never do, but it's okay. It's okay if they don't. If that's what they honest with people and say, that's who I am.
That's who I am. If
you're I'm always going to have one and two. I'm going to have one and two.
But it's honesty.
Once you put the documents on the table for everybody to read, you saw the paperwork before you came across the desk.
Right. Now you decide for yourself what you're going
to
do.
And that's what women like. Women like to have all the information presented to them so they can make the decision.
There you go. Exactly. So you know how to proceed.
Because I feel like when that's not done, it's kind of controlling in a sense. Like you're trying to control the situation.
Right.
Jay, no way. You want to go next?
Yes, I will. All right. I don't know how big this is, but I think it's key that I don't think that women understand. I think the misconception is that men don't listen or men don't care or men don't hear what I'm trying to communicate to you. And I think that I think men do listen and men do care, and that it's just the way we process and handle what you're saying is much different than a female would. And I'll just talk about from a husband perspective. Is like if my wife comes to me with, you know, women talk a lot, and which is fine, but if they talk and communicate, and my wife is telling me her issues, I got a problem with this, not with me, just in the house with the kids, and I want this, and I'm tired of my car payment, and I'm tired of this, that, and I won't, and we need to get the back of the house redone, and da 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 da. And I'm just sitting there, and I might be taking it all in. You're not saying nothing. You're not listening to me. I am listening. What's happening in my mind is saying, this is how I can figure this part out. Okay, maybe I can go pay the car off because I got the money in there. I ain't want to use it, but dang, I can really go pay the car. You know, I go through a process of providing and protecting in a way that's analytical, that is logical, to a means to an end. It's an answer to a question in a different way. I'm more of a person that says, she's come with four problems, I heard them, next week, okay, here's your four answers. Well, I didn't know you was gonna do that. Well, you had said something. You know what I'm saying? And that's just me. And so it doesn't, and it's just here, it's done, and it's over and done. Because, but, and I think sometimes, and I don't know this, women might long for the back and forth, for the conversation of venting back and forth about why it is what it is. And I think men go into, for me, it's I go into processing how I can handle it. And it comes across maybe as you're not listening and you don't like to communicate and you're not really opening up. And it's just a different way of handling it. Because I'm like, if I handle the four things, she ain't got nothing else to say. Not that I don't want to hear, but she doesn't have no problems no more.
Okay, that
was good.
But what about just at least acknowledging?
That's the thing, the acknowledgement in the moment, because even I struggle with that in my current relationship. Sometimes I'll convey some information, and then, you know, when you talk to some people, sometimes we just need to know that you're actively listening, as opposed to just it's coming in and you take, it's like talking to a couch pillow. Couch pillow is hearing everything you're saying, but you don't know if they're really taking it in and processing. And so if women don't feel like we're processing the information as it's coming in, then they could feel like, he's not listening, you know. And sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes I do check out here and there. Because if it's long-winded, if it's a Wikipedia double page single space research paper you're giving me at one time, I'm gonna check in and out, because that's just too much information.
Keep it real. Thank you,
man. I'll be out of here.
Single space.
Yeah, okay. if I'm saying that's crazy five times, that should let you know, all right, it's too much information. Let me get my feet together, something. But
one of the things that Jason just said, it helped me. And it actually brought about this series that I heard, and a guy was talking about, you know, really communication. And one of the things that he just said about that whole articulation piece, the guy said that women process to articulate. It's process articulation. But men process, contemplate, then articulate.
Okay.
And so women, when they're talking, it's like process articulation, process articulation, process articulation. And then they looking at us like, man, what? Hello?
Right.
But we're in contemplate. We process contemplate then articulate.
So we need to allow for the contemplation time, is what you're saying.
Please help a brother out. Okay.
Because sometimes the silence is communicated as you just don't care or you're not interested. Or like Tony keeps, you know, saying, women need the information. And so once we give you something, you don't give us anything back. We like, what's going on? Like, what happened? How can I move here? I don't know what's going on. And to know that you're actually just thinking it through and allowing some time to process, I think that's cool. And then maybe coming back to the table to address it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I know one thing that really kind of put me on to that whole thing was when I read Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
I remember that book.
And yeah, I ended up reading it after I got divorced, like a few years after I got divorced. And that was one of the things that was mentioned. So after learning that, it really helped me kind of deal with when a man, you know, reacts a certain way, or if I'm saying something and I'm expecting a certain response and I may not get it right away, and then they come back a day or two later with, you know, a solution to the problem. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I get it. And I think that's really kind of what it is. Like Dante said, it's allowing them to contemplate and then come back with a response and giving them that space to do that. One of the other things that was mentioned in the book, which I think I can put here, is like them talking about how, you know, men need to have the man cave. And that's part of like that whole thing, you know, when they go and kind of take themselves to the side, it allows them that time to process and, you know, download the information. Okay, so this is what she said. This is what's happening. Yeah. All right, here's a solution. So really learning that honestly was a game changer for me.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times too, men, we don't know when to, because men, you know, ultimately we like to be problem solvers. So especially with our women. And so when you come to us with an issue, whether it's related to us or not, we want to immediately go into problem solve mode or figure out how we can get you out of that feeling or that situation or where we go into this. And sometimes, you know, women just want to ventilate and just, you know, they're not really looking for us to fix anything or change anything every time they're telling us a problem or whatever. They just want to get this off their chest sometimes. And then we go into, why don't you do this here? And then, you know, you get that and then get this going. And then, why you always just sit there and take it anyway? And then it turns into a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But really, really, she just wanted to convey how she was feeling, the source of that, and just get it off her chest. And then, okay. And so a lot of times, you know, before the conversation even begins, you know, somebody tweeted this or something, like, we get asked, like, all right, do you need a problem solve here, or do you just need to ventilate? Let me know.
That's good, man.
So I can proceed the right way and not, you know, fumble the ball.
That's good.
Part of my problem is I like to do the unexpected, and I like to surprise, and I like to, you know, do something that is that my wife is going to appreciate. So a lot of times my silence comes from the standpoint of I want to wow you with, hey, this is it. You know what I mean? I got it for you, all right? Or I did it for you, or I took care of it. So in that, so for me personally, when it comes to that communicating everything, I get the active listening and stuff, but some of it comes down to, I just want you to walk in the house and it be there or done, whatever the thing is. So you can be like, wow, thank you, I appreciate it. Because in the way that you handle it, and I didn't expect you to do it in that manner. And like Tony just said, anytime, you know, if my wife has a problem, I have a problem. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it becomes my problem, because if it's weighing on her, I don't, you know, that added stress that she's having, I don't want her to have. And, you know, I'm trying to get it off her. It's like, you know, again, that provide and protecting, like, man, whatever she's going through, it could be something small, you know what I'm saying? Man, I got a headache. Let me go run and get the Excedrin. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, just, you know what I'm saying? I ran out last night. I'll run to the store. But it's just because, you know, hey, you know what I'm saying? You know, it ain't always to get the golden ticket, but, you know, you put a little little deposit in there so you can receive later. You know what I'm saying? But right. But
thank you, G.
Right. But what I'm, but you know, so I think a lot of it for that, it comes from, for me, that's where it comes from. But I can do a little bit better about saying what I need to say. But then I was like, man, I give up the surprise. You know, I give up the solution later on, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Would it make sense for a guy to just be like, in the case of what Dante was saying, process, contemplate, articulate, would it be fair to say, you know what, give me a minute to think about that, or give me a day to think about that, and then I'll get back to you?
I think we would do a better job. We could do a better job of saying that, you know, let me get my feet together. I always say get the feet together. Just let me get my bearings, like, you know. And a lot of times we don't say it, because we just, a lot of it is just, you know, behavioral reflex. It's just how we process. And sometimes we forget to always be like, oh, well, you know, I was listening to everything you said. Let me plot on that for a little bit. But I was taking it in. And then even when you say that, she could be like, oh no, you know what? I was just really just ventilating. You know, I just had to get it off my chest. And you sure? And then now he doesn't even have to worry about that any longer, because now she expressed that, you know. But that all, you know, that communication is a beautiful thing.
Communication is key.
It is key.
Tune in to the Faith Over Everything podcast, which covers literally everything, whether it's pop culture, religion, politics, relationships, fashion and beauty, entertainment, Black culture. We are talking about it all. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode available for your listening pleasure on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, you name it. Also, feel free to follow us on the following pages. Instagram is faithovereverything_podcast, or on Facebook, the page is Faith Over Everything. Thank you for tuning in.
Alicia, what do you have?
So, you know, I struggle with this. These type of things aren't always easy for me, because I tend to be a tad bit of an overthinker. So what I came up with was, there's a misconception that men might think that a woman always wants to change them, right? And so from what I know about the women in my life and my friends and people who I know, when they're with a guy, as like the two optimistic divorcees here on the panel, I don't ever see them trying to change, but enhance. Mm-hmm. And so I think the idea behind wanting to change, or sometimes maybe offering some help in an area that may need to be strengthened, can be perceived as if what you're doing is not enough, or I want to change you in some sort of way. And that's not really the case. I always see a woman in a man's life as an upgrade. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm here, then if we're going to go Bible, you know, a help me, right? So we're supposed to help improve those things in a man's life. And so what could be coming across as we want to change is not necessarily change. It's like, babe, I see this an area that we need to strengthen. Let me help you strengthen it. When I bring it up, I'm not attacking you. I'm not saying that you need to change. I'm not saying that you're not good enough. I'm saying, baby, I got you. Let's do this together. Yes. And so I think sometimes men see it as wanting to change. We solely accept you as who you are. Mm-hmm. But I think most people would desire or want to be in an honest relationship, and the person who you love should be able to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And if we go Bible again, like faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? So come on, we're going to preach today. We got to miss a lot, you know?
I think that's right, but we don't always get that on the front end.
Okay, explain.
We don't usually get the babe, I got you encouragement on the front end. We usually get that as a result of our response as feeling like we, you know, you're trying to change us. If we're going with that, I think that it would serve us better if the woman was, you know, able to communicate that on the front end and say, look, you know, babe, we in this together. I'm not going nowhere, but I do see some areas of development that are pertinent to our relationship and the growth of our relationship.
So I think
I'm gonna write that down. Yeah. Say that again, babe. I do see.
Right down the front end.
Yeah. Always starting positive. Always
always starting positive.
Okay.
I do think, like, what we've come back to a couple times is that it all boils down to communication, right? So once you start having that foundation of communication that's healthy and honest and, like, being a place where each person can feel safe enough to do that, then I think you'll be able to be all right.
That's
so
great.
Then,
like,
based
off
of what you were saying, Dante, if it comes in the middle versus in the beginning, and I could be just, you know, misconstruing what you're saying, but does it come across as nagging?
It's not nagging. We just feel attacked. And we don't like to feel attacked. You know, we want to see everything coming. That's just kind of how we're wired. You know, we want to see everything coming. And the moment that we don't, we like, dang, it's like, I done did this, I done paid bills, I done paid mortgage, I did this, and, you know, oil change, you know, tires got air in it, car got gas in it, and now I got to get through all, you know, it feels like an attack. It's not an attack, but when we don't get the affirmation on the front end, it feels like
that. But could it be sometimes that we might give you the affirmation at the front end, but you're already on defense mode. So you're taking it as an attack. When I'm coming to you like, babe.
Right. Right.
Well, I think it depends on your tone too. So if you like,
tone is key.
Coming to you like, babe, like you didn't hear me, or like you great, but like,
and also like a lot of times in relationships, and I don't know why we always do this. We do it even beyond relationships. It's whatever. It's like in life, we always highlight with that yellow highlighter the negative.
Man.
We always highlight with the yellow highlighter the negative, no matter what. It could be a full page passage on positivity.
Yes.
It's one sentence in there. This one right here. Never mind all of it. And so, you know, once a negative comes up, whether it be, why don't you do this? Or how come you know, forget all the compliments and the props that you were given before. It's like this moment right here. The one little negative piece, we everything else fades to black, and it's this. Same with when I do stand up, it'd be one person in the audience not laughing, 300 people laughing, one person. I'm looking at that one not laughing. Everybody else done died, they done set themselves on fire, they flatlined, she had a heart attack.
He said set themselves
that one person, and I'm like, man, this. But we always focus on the negative, even though our significant other, our man, woman gave us all this past praise and props and uplift and support. And then when they come with that one note or that one, you know, how about you adjust this? Oh, you ain't never believed in me this whole time.
Day one.
Every time. So we got to get out of that thinking of highlighting the negative, you know, and, you know, I've been guilty of it. And so, you know, I think a lot of people do that in relationships to where they just really bold print that one little negative piece when there's so much around that. Now, some relationships is filled with negativity. You might need to get out of it, but I'm just saying, like, you know, in a healthier space.
Right. Yeah. And I think it goes back to what Jason mentioned earlier about ego. Our ego picks up that negativity, like, I'm great. Everybody should think I'm great.
Right. At all times. I should be thought of as great 24 hours a day, 365.
Right.
I've been though.
Right.
I've been though.
You know what? Y'all gonna leave me alone, man.
It always gonna be dope.
Oh, Lord. The shirt's hot though, Alicia.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I wish our listeners could see it.
Oh, stop it.
So I'm gonna go into my misconception. The misconception I think that men have about women. I always hear men say that they are not mind readers, but I would like to let you know that neither are we. We need to know what you're feeling, what you want, what you need. I don't always pick up on the cues, okay? I might be a little slow sometimes picking up on the cue. So I need you to let me know. Spell it out for me. Educate me. Break it down. Okay? Again, it goes back to the communication. I need you to let me know. I can't read your mind.
It's because of that. It's because of that women's intuition that women brag about a lot of the time. So it's just like, you should have known the intuition, you know. But but people like to pick and choose when they want to, you know, really highlight and focus on something. Because, you know, if you're a shady man and your woman is dead on, that's when you be like, man, you trip. But then, you know, so women being, you know, we think you guys are mind readers. It's off and on sometimes. Sometimes I'll be like, you know, first of all, I think that women are sharper than we realize a lot of the times. And a lot of the times I feel like women sometimes ignore their intuitions or their thoughts just because they may like a guy. Like you mm-hmm. saw the red flags and you chose yep. to bury him or ignore him or just go mm-hmm. this way or go around that flag, but you knew. And so a lot of the times, you know, we just put that a woman in that regard to where, you know, they can pick up on the clues, especially when, like, you know, women attack us all the time, be like, that girl was flirting with you. And we'd be like, she was? And like, we're sincerely like, oh, I didn't read that, but y'all done read the whole, she looked up at the sky when you said, how you doing? She looked up there for 0.5 seconds and then looked back. He was flirting. Then, you know, and we just like, so we just sometimes we get into a rhythm where she knows what I mean or she knows what I'm talking about. But nobody's a mind reader, you know, ain't no right. X-Men out here. So we always have to convey as best we can how we're feeling and why.
That does make sense, but I'm even talking more about, I saw this post where it said that, you know, men, they don't always want sex or the physical touch isn't always sexual that they need. You know, sometimes they might need us to grab their hand or give them a hug or a back rub, or, you know, they might be feeling this certain way. So they want you to say this, like, let me know. Like, if that's what you want, right. let me know. And I can act on that accordingly.
That's real. That's fair. That's fair. Be like, you know, and I feel like, you know, I've been in a place now, because now that I'm 43, so, you know, I wanted to go into my, because in my marriage, I wasn't always forthcoming with how I was truly feeling a lot of the time, just fear of, like, you know, fear of hurt feelings or, you know, reactions or stuff like that. So I vowed in my next relationship, I was like, yo, I'm gonna just keep it 100 at all times, good or bad. I'm gonna let you know where I stand with it. And, you know, making that decision is tough because, like we were saying earlier, being that honest comes with the repercussions of, you know, how people react to that honesty. Yeah. And so,
but it also comes with the benefits of, you know, getting what you want. I mean, what do they say? Exactly. Closed mouth don't get fed. So closed if mouth you don't tell fed. Me what you want, then I can't give you the hug that you need because you had a bad day or you didn't tell me that right. you had a bad, you know what I mean? So,
right.
Yeah, I think it definitely comes with the benefits too of just being open and honest about how you're feeling in the moment.
Absolutely. And what if you can weather that storm of truth and honesty, it'll work. It always benefits in the end.
Yep. In the end. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Honesty is the best policy, guys.
Honesty is the best policy. And I got to be honest with y'all. I got to get out of here. But yo, please have me back. This is great.
We will.
Have me back. This is a good time. Great. I like this. I enjoy awesome. Myself. But all right, y'all.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, man. Sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So that leaves us with Reverie Red.
The long range over here.
The last man standing.
Right.
My common misconception that I wanted to bring to the discussion is or common misconception I believe that women have about men is that men don't talk. And don't talk in a way by the way of vulnerability, you know, about our problems. About our feelings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is wrong. Israel, we talk. We might not be talking to you, okay. But we talk. And so this whole deal about, you know, well, I just want him to tell me how he's feeling. You know, I just want him to let me in. I feel like, you know, he always shuts down, you know, whenever I say, you know, whenever I process to articulate, he just be like, you know, you know, but I think that, again, this is really beautiful how it's coming full circle. We've kind of talked about it, but men oftentimes don't talk because we don't know what we're gonna get when we do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's just as real as it gets. You know, if we're gonna get belittled, if we're gonna get badgered, mm-hmm. you know, if we're gonna be made to feel less than, we're not gonna share it. Mm-hmm. And we'll hold it in. You know, we'll talk to our boys, or we'll talk to, you know, our colleagues or someone else, but you know, we might just compartmentalize that aspect of the relationship. But the only problem is when you compartmentalize a piece of your relationship, it often shows up in other facets. Mm-hmm. So where you were holding out conversation in one end, you might be talking to somebody in DMs, in your DMs. Mm-hmm. And so now you got this whole exchange with a person, and it leads to something.
Yeah.
But that all stemmed from, because, you know, there was a barrier. It wasn't a breakdown, it was a barrier in the communication, mm-hmm. where we didn't feel safe enough. And I think that's one of the primary messages that I just want to end with, is that men, as much as women want to feel safe, and I've heard that a number of times, men want to feel safe as well, because if we don't feel safe, we ain't talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so,
you know what? I have a couple of things to say about that. I'm probably going to forget my second point. Hopefully I won't. But first of all, y'all listening to this podcast, y'all know I love reality TV. Y'all know I love Married at First Sight.
My Lord.
I think it was last season where, yes, it was last season. So there was a couple on the show. It was, his name was Will, and he was with Karen. And he was very vulnerable with her and very transparent, sharing with her his struggles with his mental health. And so she made comments to him, and basically the comments that she made to him had him feeling like, this is not a safe space really for me to share, for me to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think sometimes we as women, I don't know if we always understand how we respond to a man, like when he's being vulnerable, how that might deter him from, you know, feeling like this is a safe space. Mm-hmm. Which leads me to my follow-up, which my question to you, Dante, is how can we as women, well, what can we do to provide safe spaces for men to be comfortable in expressing, you know, their most vulnerable selves or being transparent?
Sure. I think it begins by being present, not being dismissive. That's really I think just my off the cuff answer. I don't really know that I have a real answer. I mean, as far as formalized thoughts or whatever, but I think as best as I can say it right now, just be present and don't be dismissive, because when we do share, know that we need to, and know that we trust you with that. And we're sharing because we love you, and we feel like you love us, and we feel like you have our best interests at heart. But if we have to go into it or we've been, you know, walking on eggshells, you know, within the context of our dealings, it's not going to happen. And so that's what I would say. Just be present. You know, I think another topic that we haven't really touched on tonight is supportive. Because, you know, from a man's perspective, you know, I always thought it was my duty to support my woman, my wife, my, you know, my boo thing. You know, I always thought it was my job. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that if I pour everything into supporting her and I get nothing in return, then I leave empty. And if I'm empty, then I'm going to always be looking for something else to fill my cup, because I've spent so much time filling yours.
Yeah.
And so I want men, I think, again, common misunderstanding, that men don't need their cup to be filled. We need our cup to be filled too. We need support, you know, like we need to really know that you, that you're that rider that we need in our corner, and that we, that we believe that you are our blessing. Mm-hmm. But you know, again, I think that if we could just feel that sense of support, again, to Alicia's point, babe, I ain't saying you trash. I'm just saying, you know, that we need some development. The areas A, B, and just go to D. We got right, but D is still hanging on.
He's not really.
It ain't really coming all the way around like you need to. You know, yeah. High standards over here.
Yeah, I actually think, Charisse, the point that you're making about what you're saying, and then it goes to Charisse's point, sometimes we just don't know how to support. Yeah. And so we try our best to support, and we don't know how. And so our support isn't what you need, then you're left not feeling supported. Yeah. I think that's the hard part. Because we might be giving you words of affirmation, but you don't need to be affirmed. Or we might be doing little things around the house to make it good for you, or cooking, and you don't need that.
Right.
So I think that as a man, I think you need to, maybe if we're not supporting you in a way that you need to tell us how you need to be supported, because we might be missing the ball, because most people lead with their love language. And so they give what they, you know, think that you want. And so I think that's where we need to know what you need, so we know that we're supporting you in the right way.
Yeah. What if I told you that sometimes we don't know? We just...
Ooh.
So how are we supposed to know if you don't know?
Maybe one thing you could do, one thing I've learned about just humans and natural, just watch people. You'll watch them long enough.
That's good.
And what they like. If you watch long enough, you can pick up on cues. If you watch a man long enough, you'll see how he moves when he's stressed out. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can kind of pick up on what he likes and what he doesn't like, and then maybe feed into those likes. And when he does, when you do something, the reaction you get from him means that he might really like it, right?
So if
you
do something,
he's like, "Oh, baby, thank you." Yeah, do that again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think to that point too, we have to get out of that whole thing of being afraid to mess up or like fail when it comes to trying to figure out how to communicate with our partner. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times we don't know. And to Dante's point, okay, I don't know. Well, let's figure it out together.
Together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not afraid, you know, to be in this space of I don't know-ness together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that takes like a level of vulnerability for both people involved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we're searching and trying to figure it out together. I don't know, you don't know. Okay.
Let's watch TV. What you watching?
Yeah, that was good.
So mm-hmm. the biggest two takeaways I've gotten from this discussion is communication and a little bit of courage is what's needed to have a good partnership and for men and women to understand each other.
Very much so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think patience too, because I mean, we're human. We're not always going to get it right, but we have to be patient with one another and give the other person like at least the opportunity to try. Mm-hmm. You know, if they mess up, don't belittle them. Be patient.
That's right.
For sure. This was good. I enjoyed this conversation.
I did too.
Absolutely. Great.
So how about, I just realized that the whole time I was talking about the couple from Married at First Sight, I was saying Will, and I meant to say Miles. But anyway,
thank you all again for being a part of our podcast episode. It has been so much fun. So let's go ahead and get you all's handles. Let the people know where they can find you. So we'll start with you, Jay. Jay, no A.
Yes, everyone. At Jason Fredericks on Instagram. That's J, literally, no A, S-O-N, Fredericks, F-R-E-D-E-R-I-C-K-S. You can always go to my website, The Jason Fredericks Company, just how it sounds, thejasonfredrickscompany.com, and you can check out me and any of the other social media comedians and artists and influence that are part of my company. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for having me too. Appreciate you.
Of course.
Of course. All right, Tony, you're up. Where can the people find you?
They can find me at Tony Baker on Instagram and Facebook, just regular Tony Baker. Tony Baker Comedy on YouTube and Twitter. TonyBakerComedy.com is the website. Yeah, Tony Baker Comedy, usually can't go wrong in that finding me. I even have a Tony Baker Comedy Instagram page as well. That was my old page, but I just switched it to the new just in case somebody tried to take the name. So that's where you can find me. And, you know, from there, once you go to my Instagram page, it links into everything else I got going right there in the bio. So, yes, indeed.
Perfect. All right.
We're going to go ahead and ask Alicia and Dante for their information. Alicia, drop your handle, boo.
IG? Oh, yeah. Okay. So my IG handle is, it's private, but okay. I mean, because it's, you know, because of my
You can accept who you want to accept. You don't have to accept anybody.
Checking for me anyway. That's not what I'm saying. I just, you know, people go, it's not open like you all. It's Boots9477. So that's how you can find me on Instagram. BOOTS9477.
All right. And Dante Jackson, where can they find you?
You can find me at D-O-N-T-E L Jackson. And that's Dante L Jackson on IG and on Twitter. I love both spaces. If you come on there, you'll find me. If I don't accept you, because my IG is closed, is locked, private as well too. Alicia, hello. if I don't get you on one, I get you on the other.
There you go.
No, hit me up. Love to chat.
All right.
Ooh. Therese, do you have anything else to add?
I don't have anything else to add.
All hearts and minds are clear.
Yeah.
May the Lord watch.
Come on. Claim in thee. You better say it, girl.
The Optimisticals need a theme song. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, so you haven't listened to our theme song?
I didn't hear the theme song. I just be listening to the podcast.
And well, look at there. Look at okay, there. You know Let it play all the way out.
Yeah.
All right, my bad.
We're gonna get Dante after this.
Y'all done embarrassed me in front of my son. See what I'm talking about? Whole conversation just going out the window. No support.
I know we forgot just that quick. You know, be We're patient sorry. With us. We just learned tonight,
right.
Okay?
You know what? You're right.
I can't call you babe, but Rev.
I got you.
All right. This has been great.
Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. But before we go, of course, we have to let you know where you can find us individually, right? So you can find me at Shari Lachelle. That's S-H-A-R-I-L-A-C-H-E-L-L-E. And you can find Sharice at
Au Naturel. A-U-N-A-T-U-R-E-L.
Until next time, bye-bye.
Optimistic about life. Real life.